Sharks fans, don't miss your chance to be at the Can't Miss Games of the Year and see the newest members of the Sharks. On July 2nd, we will announce the 2024-25 season schedule, and individual game tickets will go on sale that same day. Visit sjsharks.com/tickets to sign up for a ticket on sale alert. That's sjsharks.com/tickets.
It's time for the Sharks Morning Skate with all the latest on San Jose Sharks hockey. Here are your hosts, Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
Welcome to the Morning Skate in Music City, Nashville, Tennessee, a city that's probably changed more in the time that the San Jose Sharks have been in the National Hockey League than any other city on the circuit. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I mean, when we first came, it was Broadway and all the honky-tonks, but it's very, very different now, and there's so much building going on, so much construction, residences, hotels, and it's busier. There's more and more. The secret of Nashville has got out to the world.
It's gone.
There's no more secret anymore. It's one of the best places to come on any road trip or any vacation.
Well, one thing we've noticed on this trip is that the San Jose Sharks come to work, but they fall short in the sense that other teams are just further along the line than they are, and that's been the story for all four games so far.
I was, as you pointed out on the check-in, yes, last game against Chicago. Last game was the first game in a long time I've been really upset with the way they played. They played such a good first period, and then they decided, well, you know what? We don't have to take care of the puck anymore. We can throw pucks across the blue line. We can jump in on the wrong time. They lost their way. They tried to get creative instead of playing a simple straight-ahead north-south, pucks deep, third man high, and protect the middle type of game. And when you lose through because the other team's better, when you lose because you played well but you're just not good enough, we can all accept. Sharks fans can accept it. We can all accept it. But last game, I thought that they caused themselves so many problems. And tonight, against a team that's as good as Nashville is, playing as well as Nashville is, that has talent as young guys, they have got outstanding veteran leadership and a goaltender that is one of the best in the world, you've got to play a very simple, straight-ahead, north-south, protect the ice, own the neutral zone type of game.
Do you blame management for not scheduling a trip for the Sharks to the Sphere to see you two, canceling it, and then having them go on a streak?
Yes, that was what people don't understand. So after the Predators lose 9-2, in case you're wondering what Danny's referring to, Predators lost 9-2.
To Dallas, no indignity.
Right. They were scheduled to fly out to Vegas earlier, and there were going to be a team function. They were all going to see you two at the Sphere. Now, when 9-2 happened, you have to earn your days around here. You have to earn your luxuries. And so team management and Coach Burnett, they canceled. No, we're not doing that. You're not going to see you two at the Sphere. And so I think what the players realize now is that Andrew Burnett and management had their back, not forcing them to listen to the most pretentious band in the world. And so I think that's why the players just say, hey, they had our back. We got to play hard for them.
You know, that is a point that you really hate you too.
That if people don't understand my tone, they should now. I think they're horrible. I can't stand you two. And I'm glad that the Predators have shown the world this is how you have to treat you two. Ignore them.
12-0-2 in 14 games,
that's
though.
Amazing.
I mean, it is amazing. And you know what? Talk about crediting management. Barry Trotz, new general manager of this team, brought in some leadership here that's really been good. Now he's got a four-line team. He picked up Beauvillier, and he picked up Jason Zucker to kind of fill out the roster up front. He's got plenty of great defensemen. Today, Jeremy Lauzon is hurt. He's not able to go. Dante Fabro's been hurt. He can't play, but no problem. They call up Mark Delgaiso from the Milwaukee Admirals, and he'll step in. He's Mario Ferraro's former defensive partner at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. So I talked to him today, and he actually recorded a special message for Mario, which I texted to Mario right after our meeting. But But what I think that they did was they acquired the assets to be what they need to be, and that is a four-line team that relentlessly comes at you. And isn't it interesting to note that the hat that Coach Andrew Brunette is wearing has the word relentless in Predators colors?
You know, we all look at hockey and we look at McDavid and Matthews and McKinnon, all those guys who are high-skilled guys flying up and down the ice, and you know, the unicorns, basically, of the National Hockey League. And we think we got to have those guys. But if you look in the playoffs, who wins?
The third line guys.
The relentless guys win.
Right.
You look at who were most effective in the playoffs last year. Marchessault, undrafted, worked his way through the AHL up to the NHL. Tkachuk, son of a you-know-what to play against all the time. You just keep going up and down the lineup. Stone, Stevenson, those guys that bust their tail. And you look at this group for the Nashville Predators, and they are a relentless group. The way they play hockey, they pursue the puck. They hunt. They're physical. They attack on the north-south spot. They get shots to the net. They do everything, and they do it over and over and over again. One of Ronnie Wilson's favorite terms when describing a player that he liked was relentless. He talked about it. He said, if you're going to have one character trait as a hockey player, you've got to be relentless. And that's what this team is. And it will be a big test for San Jose tonight.
Back to the Chicago game. I thought, you know, you give up five goals. It doesn't sound like it's very good in a 5-2 loss. You have that terrible third period, three goals against in a minute 23, four goals against total. The game takes off away from you. But in spite of all that, I have to say I was kind of impressed by the way that Devin Cooley, the kid from Los Gatos, played in goal. I thought it could have been 3-0 in the first 2 minutes, and he made unbelievable stops, and he did a good job most of the night.
He did a great job, and what, three goals go off of Shark players? I mean, he played a terrific game. He's quick, smart.
Tall.
Like, man, he's a big guy. His legs are so long, gets down early. He played very well. And what do you and I always talk about? We always talk about, do you give your team a chance? And that's all you can hope for from a goaltender, is that you give your team a chance. And throughout the year, for the most part, and I would say, what, 85, 90% of the games, that the Sharks goalies have given their team a chance. And that's what Devin did. I saw no problem with Devin in the way he played whatsoever.
We're anticipating that Magnus Crona is going to be back in the nets, but the really good news is that Mackenzie Blackwood is this close, and I'm holding between thumb and forefinger just a smidgen of a space. He's almost ready to come back. I really think that the Sharks are going to get a big boost when he does, because he's been such a great goalie. I felt so badly for him when he got hurt against the Devils, the team that he kept getting hurt with, and he sees the uniforms and he gets injured. It drove me crazy, because he was on his way to a first star performance in that game.
Yeah, and he's been really working hard with Thomas Speer after practice, working a lot. I talked to him as we got here to Nashville the other night and said, how are you doing? He goes, I'm close. And I went, that's great. But you don't want to push it, and why would you push it, right? Why would you push it right now, because where the Sharks are in the season? But you just keep working on trying to get better, and he's been working with Thomas Speer, a lot of rebound stuff he's been doing. So when he gets back, and talking to Thomas Speer about McKenzie and the type of person he is, it's been impressive to start to understand a little bit about how great of a teammate he is and how much the guys appreciate him.
He is. He's a number one guy, but also he's a number one person.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's a very positive guy. You know, we don't see, you know, these guys now are so quiet as compared to all the goaltenders we used to know, and from Evgeny Nabokov to Kelly Rudy to Mike Vernon to Steve Shields and Artur Zerbe. I mean, these players are different now. They're much quieter. But McKenzie is very positive with his teammates in the room. He's an upbeat guy, and players love him, and the players play for him.
So how tough is this game going to be tonight?
It's going to be hard. It's going to be a hard game. Last game of the year. I'm hoping the guys, they understand, the travel plans have been made, but don't pack your bags yet, because it's going to be a tough night. And if you are just thinking about getting home, it could be a long flight home and pretty quiet if you don't play the right way.
you got to hope for that first game back from a long road trip syndrome, because the Preds have been on the road. Their new guys, Beauvillier and Zucker, are playing in front of the home crowd for the first time since the deadline. And it's going to be something that the Sharks can feed off of, too, because it's a very great atmosphere here at Bridgestone Arena. We'll have the call for you tonight starting at 4:30 Pacific time. Until then, that's the Morning Skate today.
You've been listening to the Sharks Morning Skate. Make sure you're listening all season long to the latest Sharks news and information right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.